You're listening to a previously recorded episode of The IT and the D Show, the number one technology podcast on SoundCloud this week. This show is broadcasting live from the Podcast Detroit studios in Royal Oak, Michigan. For more information about the show or our network, please visit www.podcastdetroit.com.
You are listening to the number one ranked technology podcast on SoundCloud
this week.
This is the IT and the D Show. We are at episode 153.
Up until everybody realizes what yesterday's episodes were all about.
Right. And we are so technology driven that we have the runner up of American Idol last year in studio tonight. Gina Irene Asciutto is in the house talking about her new works. Can't wait for that conversation. And we have one of our favorite guests, Victoria, is in the house from Hatch Detroit.
It must be time to talk about Hatch Detroit again. Is it that time of year?
Because
it's like the recruiters that show up at our events. We hear from Victoria when it's time to pitch.
Right.
Yeah.
Where were you 3 months ago, Victoria? Hatch Detroit. Well, hey, thank you for listening. This is Bob, Dave, and Nuri. We got some awesome sponsors, awesome discussions. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now, and remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone cries.
To hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to
the D Show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
Bob loves it in the camp.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
That's why I like it in the can.
Which kind of scares the shit out of me.
Shut up, Barry.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT in the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
We got screwed at the same time. Yeah.
Really? Should we talk about this? We tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D. Come.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Thank you for hanging out with us. It is July 11th, and I am not at the Duran Duran concert because I am here co-hosting the IT and the D Show. This is episode 153. If you wondered where 152 went, we'll get to that in a minute. We are broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter. And you can now find us on the Google Play, and you can download our app on Android and the iTunes.
We are all the places, all the things, all the everywhere.
Wherever fine podcasts are sold. But to do us a favor, if you can subscribe to us and or leave a review in iTunes, we would greatly appreciate it.
Are we still stuck somewhere?
No, I don't know. I didn't look. do us a favor, mark your calendars as well. July 21st, we will be in Greektown at the Firebird Tavern upstairs for a good old-fashioned social where this whole thing started. No cover, no speakers, no buttholes, just a bunch of IT geeks talking shop. Well, how much fun could that possibly be? But there's alcohol involved, so I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah.
And then August 4th, just realize I'll be missing that because I'll be in Mexico, but you will be there. We're having our second annual – not annual, second
so you're,
quarterly.
So this whole time we were talking about setting this up when originally you wanted it Wednesday.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
You wouldn't have been around Wednesday either. Good, good.
So
good job, Bob. I'm so glad I planned this, that we planned this around
right.
Your
– me not being there. Yeah, August 4th, Thursday, mark your calendar. We'll be at Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan. Hanging out, playing video games, hanging out with fellow podcasters. If you are a podcaster or want to talk to one, we will all be there. So hopefully you can make it.
Podcasts, properties, podcasts.
Exactly.
Dimension accessories.
But social.
Nice.
So as we mentioned, we have two awesome guests. Segment two, we have an awesome guest lineup today. We have the runner-up of last year's American Idol.
Now, see, and it doesn't sound impressive when you say that.
Like, no, because the runner-up is the one that gets all the good things.
But you need that you need to have that clarity. Because, second place is first loser. it doesn't sound good when you say it that
way.
You guys are off to a great start.
Historically, the runner-up has always been the one that gets the better things.
That's the context I was looking for.
We have Gina Irene Asciutto in the house. Going to be talking about some new EPs coming out. She's going on tour. A lot of awesome stories that and a lot of fun questions we want to ask about. No, I'm just kidding. About her stint on American Idol. And we also have Victoria Katansky here from Hatch Detroit. Brand new year, brand new season. Four finalists. We're going to be talking about what in the world's going on with Hatch Detroit. Because everything they touch seems to turn to gold. All the last 2 years we've had all their finalists, and they always seem.
And we've picked them.
Right, exactly.
Three, we've picked them.
And Batch is killing it, so it's awesome watching them. But hey, this segment of the IT and the D Show is brought to you by our new favorite product, Earth Class Mail. We talked about it last week, and I am a complete fanboy. It removes all of your snail mail and paper mail and puts it in the cloud, giving you 24/7 access to all of your paper mail in your Dropbox or anywhere else you want to put it. Integrates with tools and services you use every single day. With Earth Class Mail, you get all your emails scanned and accessible online 24/7. You can search your email or search your mail, send invoices over to your accounting software, sync important documents in your cloud storage, deposit checks. It just makes life a whole lot easier. And we, first thing out of our mouths last week was security. It's going to be a problem. I don't want my mail sitting. They're HIPAA compliant. You can have things shredded. You can have things stored. They're as secure, as locked down as you'll ever have anything.
You know, as a small business owner, I think the check deposit's the coolest feature ever. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you have a stack full of checks from all your invoices, and instead they basically get intercepted in the mail, scanned, and basically you still get copies of them.
Right.
They're immediately scanned and put into your accounts. No trips to the bank. I mean, that pays for it right there for me.
So the cool thing is if you are a solopreneur or if you don't have frontage – you can get a real professional address to share quickly with customers, business partners, and investors, and you don't have to worry about showing up at your front door if you run a home-based business. We've checked it out, and I think this is one of the coolest new things to come out in a while. I hope you do, too. Do us a favor.
Oh, I'm signing us up for it here.
As you should.
Yeah.
So, visit earthclassmail.com, spelled just the way it sounds, and you'll get your first free month of service using – coupon code, not promo code, coupon code.
There's still no Q in that word.
IT and the D.
How many times we got to talk about this?
All lowercase, no spaces. Promo code IT and the D. That's earthclassmail.com. Free month of service. So use promo code IT and the D. And we appreciate it. So Dave, have you seen an abnormal amount of people outside lately?
I have, and a lot of them look like they don't go outside very often.
Are they enjoying the nice weather? I mean, it has been beautiful here in Michigan the last couple weeks.
They've been twisting a lot of ankles. They've been banging a lot of shins.
Oh, so that explains it.
There's been, you know, they've been a couple of car accidents, allegedly. Apparently, I'm not going to lie, I had no idea that Pokemon was even still a thing. Like, I remember, like, when my nephews had the cards and that was a thing, and then some of the cards were valuable, and now there's this augmented reality Pokemon Go.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's an app for your phone called Pokemon Go, and basically, do you remember when geocaching tried to be a thing?
Yeah,
it's still a thing.
Is it still a thing?
Totally.
But like the thing with geocaching was you'd put something tangible in like a little box, like in the middle of the forest in the park.
Right,
and you'd put the coordinates up, and you go and find it. Well, now
the porn whatever. We've talked about them. Yeah.
But now you can find. There was a Pikachu on our podcast table last week.
Great. Now all the freaks are going to come and like try to take pictures.
No, Bob snagged it, so it's gone.
Oh, okay. It's gone. Yeah,
it's gone.
I did find a rat.
Let's be clear. Bob is playing this. I am not playing this.
Yeah,
I refuse.
Here's how bad it is. Where I call my 12-year-old daughter and say, Gretchen, you need to download this app. What is it? I never heard of it. And I'm like, that's why I am your father. Like, I know all the cool kid apps before you do. And it was a proud papa moment. My favorite story that came out, and I'm so sad that it's fake, is that somebody stopped in the middle of the highway and caused a huge accident to snag whatever the thing is. But I didn't realize, so there's places you can get like recharged, and it's like a whole big running around town thing. And I didn't realize, so apparently someone was monkeying with the system and made the Westboro Baptist Church a place.
And not only made it a place, but put the Love is Love Pokemon as the thing there, which, you know, they're kind of against.
Just a little bit. But the funny thing was it turned into a human version of Stand By Me, like in the first 2 days, where a little girl's looking for whatever Pokemon is in and she finds a dead body. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Oh, I remember, the teenage girl that was out.
Yes.
She's out walking around like the stream by her house or something, or canal by her house. Yeah, finds dead body.
Here's how nuts this whole thing is. If you look at this from a corporate standpoint, Nintendo stock has gone up.
8%.
Yeah, which equates to like $7 billion in market cap value.
They were, and we were actually, I was just talking about this with Billy. They are either trending towards almost being at, or they have already surpassed Twitter.
This month they will surpass Twitter.
In
they're
daily
right below.
Active users.
Yeah,
it's
Twitter.
Been out for what, 3 days?
3 days. But now you have slews. I saw someone. You have Andy from Detroit Bus Company saying, hey, let's go on a Pokemon bus excursion. There's people in Royal Oak getting food going. There's like Halloween, like where there's moms and caravans like unloading 8 kids so they can run around downtown Royal Oak picking up Pokemon. And like,
I think it's a plot. I really do. I think it's a plot by Nintendo to get people out of their house and walking around.
But they're still looking. They're looking down at their mobile.
But still, they're running around because I had a friend who opened it up, and she says that I see one that's just outside of where I'd be comfortable walking on like a day. So I think it's a way to get people out, like running around, interacting. And I guess that's good, right? So you have large groups of people running around doing things with each other. Can it be that bad?
Yeah, I guess, but I guess that's a good thing. But like, I just everyone's still glued to their phone. Like, no one's
exactly
looking up and like being a part of focus.
Twisted ankles,
yeah,
bruised shins.
But what I'm finding out though,
exactly,
a lot of the things
finding
I'm finding
dead
out,
bodies, you know,
people are like meeting like in Campus Martius, and people are like they have a commonality now. Like, it doesn't matter what you are, where you're from, your political climate,
it's what team you're on, right?
It's what team you're on, and like people are getting together, there's teams now, and there's like this. It's so weird. I think it's pretty amazing how it just brought like people together.
Now it's made by Niantic, right? Which are the
correct
same folks who made Ingress. So a lot of the same kind of teams fighting for control of things,
mm-hmm,
right? It's very similar, except with cute little Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. So
here's where it gets funny from a privacy standpoint.
Well, we'll get there in a sec. So
yeah.
This is what I just learned is apparently it's basically a gaming it's the gamification that Yelp brought in to like being the Duke of places and that kind of stuff. Because apparently with the Pokemon gym locations, you bring your Pokemon there to fight. And then if yours wins, it stays there and is like the Poke King or whatever.
And you get Powerballs and stuff.
And then
and that's, things.
I'm
one out of five stars, Chizzard farted.
Yeah, dude, I'm feeling lamer as with every word that's coming out.
Well,
mouth.
To make like, you feel better, I just watched Empire Strikes Back for the first time.
Good Lord Almighty.
So now she'll get all the I am your father jokes.
Yeah, exactly. It makes sense now. Oh, my God. But here's the thing. Like, everyone had a fit. With it's funny. Remember, this is a common theme with this show.
Remember Facebook Messenger?
Yeah.
Remember when that came out?
Oh, freaked out. Everyone's dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. I hate the world. Oh my God! Don't you dare make me download it. And now they're giving up like five times the privacy of their phone, of their all their stuff. Right, because
it gets access to your email.
Why
does it need access to your email? Tell me. Part of the game. How does it need access to my email?
To your Dropbox. Oh, you get access to all of it.
I keep all my like professional stuff in my Dropbox.
It gets all of it.
Your professional.
Okay, all my porn. I keep my porn in my Dropbox.
But they get access to it. Makes Facebook Messenger look like kindergarten.
But everybody, yeah, that's the thing. So it's the as long as you give me something that distracts me, I'm perfectly okay with it.
Don't take away my. Or don't you dare track me, but don't you dare take away Google Maps.
Don't take
Maps.
Away my GPS or the. Right. Yeah, exactly.
The other thing you saw this week was that people are being targeted based on playing the game.
Yep.
So you have groups of people running around, looking down, not paying attention to their surroundings. Perfect target for pickpockets.
And that's amazing that the robbers, I swear to God, the robbers just had normal jobs. They'd be so far ahead of just robbing people.
They could put like Pokemon bait out in like one field.
That's what they're doing.
That's what they're doing, yeah. So
they're setting up like these, apparently, again, just from reading these articles, beacons are a thing. And so criminals are setting up beacons that are basically broadcast and say, hey, there's a lot of Pokemon nearby. And apparently anyone can set one of those up. And so people show up to find Pokemon and burglars and then criminals rob people who show up to get Pokemon.
2 a.m. in the forest of Central Park.
Exactly.
Let's go grab them. Come on, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Got to catch them.
And of course they did catch a rat. In the lobby, again. In the studio here.
How do we put out bait for that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's different.
Rats in our studio. Shut up.
There's Pokemon. So here's the funniest conversation, then we'll move on, is I'm talking about this. My wife and my sister-in-law are going to Duran Duran tonight, and I'm explaining to my sister-in-law, she's got a little boy. I'm like, hey, did my nephew download Pokemon Go? She's like, no, why? I'm like, I caught one at the studio on our table, and there's one out in front of the house. And my wife gives me this puzzled look. And granted, she's master's degree, but she's medical. Technology is not her thing. I don't want to downplay it and say that she's a hillbilly.
She was mad at you because you weren't making her a host of Facebook events when
she's not on Facebook. Right. Right. Precisely. But she's like, wait, there's one of those things out in front of the house? And I'm like, babe, just stop talking. No, there's not one in front of the house.
Go look at it.
Can I pet it?
There's a live Pikachu in front of the house.
Yes, you can only see it if you believe and you're under 14. That's yes.
So one of the things that – oh, go ahead.
We should mention – so this is episode 153. Last Monday was episode 151. So we did not have
what
a
happened to 152?
Every now and then, we do try to get serious. It's not all just yuck stuff. And with the events that went through the nation last week, the shootings, the police shootings in Dallas and that sort of stuff, we reached out to a few friends of ours in the black community and asked them to take some time out of their weekend and come out here and sit down and talk through stuff.
Little did we know talking through stuff meant 4.5 hours of recording.
Yeah, 4.5 hours and four pizzas later, we walked out of here exhausted. But a phenomenal, phenomenal conversation took place.
Enlightened, to say the least.
From the historical perspective of Calvin Moore, man, from 7.2 Tours, he is one of my new favorite people. That man walked in here with a stack of books. 13 pages of notes,
yeah.
And was ready to go, and brought us from the Bible, up to
now,
pre-Civil War era and everything that happened in between, and then up through now. And then we dove into current events with everybody, as well as, you know, where do we go from here? So even cutting out the breaks, that is a 3-hour and 54-minute podcast. We do not expect you to listen to that all in one chunk. We have both the full version and the where we took three breaks. So it's about, you know, it ranges around 1.5 hours each or so. Now I think it's like 1 hour and 15 each. They're out there, should be on, they're all on SoundCloud, should be on iTunes by now. I encourage you to go listen to, we called it What It Means to Be Black in America, and it is very eye-opening. I really strongly encourage people to listen to it.
I like I said, I kept my mouth shut the majority of it because I wanted to learn. And it was enlightening, to say the least. I mean, it was emotional. It was a great conversation. So I guess, hey, moving on real quick, by show of hands, who's lent out their Netflix password? Which one of your fathers or cousins have a Netflix password?
Actually, that's why I date so many people, is I can get the Hulu password from one, the Netflix from the other. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's why. Has nothing to do with you being a man whore.
So thank you. Apparently it's not just unethical, it's a federal crime moving forward.
Today,
yes,
that ruling just went down to, and it wasn't specific to Netflix. It's apparently the sharing of any online services passwords.
Mark has my WWE password. I gotta change that.
What about like when you share? I mean, Amazon Prime, for instance, right? It like allows
you have multiple devices,
multiple addresses, yeah. Multiple devices. You put but your
they're
kids
all
on it.
No, but they're logged all in with the same email,
the same
right?
email.
Yeah.
So you put your kids in your Netflix account, right? I mean, you have multiple watchers, right? So you have like.
Because I think my dad's under my Netflix. I told him, don't pay, just use mine. And like, who doesn't do that? You know what I mean? Like,
damn it, Dad, quit watching American Pickers. Seriously, I'm sick of this shit.
You're skewing up my recommendations like mad.
But now federal crime is like, got to rethink my place in the world, right? And then, of course, I went through the living hell last week of losing my phone for a day. Now, I like to think that I can unplug and be fine, but I got a little...
No, you had a twitch.
I got a little twitchy.
You absolutely had.
I'm not as bad as you with your phone, but I'm bad.
You kept feeling those vibrations on your leg.
I totally did. I had it all week.
I don't drive with my phone in my hand. So you can take two Mother May I steps back right there.
That's fine. But what I found is, so I got the new Samsung, and apparently they have a selling feature that it's water resistant. And it's not like I'm going to go.
Well, you haven't seen the commercials where they walk around pouring champagne.
Oh yeah,
on the phone, because that's normal behavior.
Right.
Well, it's like sanitizes your phone, right? You pour some vodka on it before you go out. The evening,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Totally. Alcohol kills germs. So yeah, absolutely.
Because of course, usually it's emergency. Like, I dropped it down an elevator shaft, or I dropped it in the toilet, or
in
a lake,
or
right.
Yeah.
But like, it's always an accident. It's never like. But why would you like purposely like someone just put it in like a bucket of water?
How about a fish tank?
It didn't work, and they're like. Oh, it doesn't work. So now apparently Samsung had to come out and say, yeah, it's not really waterproof. It's kind of like if it's an accident, you can't keep it in there for a half an hour, dupas.
Well, you know, if you held Coke in your mouth for 6 months, your teeth would all dissolve.
Right.
Well, yeah, and you would deserve that happening.
Right.
And if you put your phone in a fish tank
for
30
minutes, an hour.
And you would deserve that happening.
Well, right. There are several models of Samsung S7, right? There's a special version that costs like an extra $100 for active folks, which you think an active phone should be more waterproof and more rugged. And that was the one that did the worst on all of the tests.
Oh, God.
So they basically
– amazing.
5 feet for 30 minutes, which is amazing, which is much longer than a toilet spill or –
Well, anyone with kids has replaced their kid's glass at least 3 times. That ain't cheap anymore. It's almost as much – it's like $120 for each time.
It's a $710 MSRP phone, which is nuts.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So one of our favorite, like right up there with Uber, one of our favorite topics.
Unter?
Uber, yeah. Is Ashley Madison, which is now under attack yet again. This time not a cyber attack, but there is now a class action lawsuit out there brewing because it was revealed and they admitted to that whenever people tried to cancel their account or dispute charges that Ashley Madison was cramming through, they would basically just say, okay, well, look, we'll just send all the paperwork to your house. About your account, and you go ahead and fill that out and send it back to us.
Hun, we got something in the mail from Ashley Madison. Do you know anything about that?
My account got hacked or something.
My phone was in Canada.
Immediately everybody was like, everybody was like, yeah, no, that's cool. I'll let it ride. Don't worry about it. So yeah, but now there's a So now finally there's a class action lawsuit brewing because apparently that's something they were doing. That's amazing.
Well, because everyone that ever charges anything to Ashley Madison and the wife says, "What is this on the account?" I must have got hacked. It must be fake. I didn't do it.
Wait, did Ashley? That'd be amazing if Ashley Madison actually sent through. I mean, God, you can go to a bar and they send it through as like. The town library or something stupid, but Ashley Madison would send things through as Ashley Madison. That's amazing.
It's Ashley Madison, the service to allow you to cheat on your
life
spouse.
Life is short
to
have an affair.
I heard a rumor that
Amex, right?
No, I heard a rumor that, you know, when you go to Penthouse on 8 Mile that the bill on the credit card says like Tom's Sports Bar. Just a rumor I heard.
I mean, that's amazing.
I wouldn't know for firsthand, but just that's what I've heard from some friends of mine that, you know.
That frequent such places.
I hear they also have great wings. Yeah.
Oh, no, wouldn't know.
There was a great article that came across that I saw that basically, and it's something we harp about constantly, and it's the title was "Stop Making Everything So Easy for Your Kids." It was, it's okay, you know, basically it's okay to let your kids fail. It's okay to let your kids get a skinned knee. It's okay, you know, and it's that, you know, it's the summertime. Get your kids out of the house. Force them to go outside and play. Get them Pokemon Go, apparently, and let them go run around. But, I mean, that's, you know, we've had this talk a bunch of times where it's that we're coddling our kids so badly as a society or so much as a society, we're screwing ourselves.
Well, let me counterpoint that. My friend Megan just went through a living hell where she let him go out and fail. She let her 10-year-old boy go out and fail and on his iPad, let him get his own Apple ID and let him get his own Gmail account. And sign up for, you know, let him have his own thing until she gets the credit card bill for 22 apps and music totaling $337 in 4 days. That's a little bit.
That's like, a whole different thing.
But what I'm saying is she let the kid go and fail, and that's what he brought back home.
That's not letting the kid go and fail. That's being somewhat functionally brain damaged. I mean, that's that anything you're tying your credit card. I mean, this was about, you know, let your kid, you know, go, you know, force your kid to go play soccer, force your kid to go outside, not give your kid access to something that can rack up charges on your credit card.
But don't give them a trophy before they even played one game of soccer.
Exactly.
We all do that.
No, we don't.
Because then they come home and cry and go, "I wasn't the best." They go, "Yes, you were, because we're going to do a special private ceremony for you. You're the greatest one ever. You're the new Hope Solo."
No,
I don't do that. I'm just being funny.
No, I know you don't. God.
How funny. No poop stories this week, though. What the heck?
But, Nuri, I have bad news.
Oh?
Chewbacca mom.
I thought we were done with her.
Oh, you said we were done.
All right, well, I'll let it run.
Go ahead. No, you can't bring it up.
You brought it up.
Too late. I want to know now.
Apparently, Chewbacca mom is releasing songs.
No.
Don't feel threatened, Gina.
I don't know. Who's Chewbacca mom?
Don't Google it,
yes.
Please.
No. Watch the we like you already. Empire Strikes Back, and then you'll know.
There you go.
No, Chewbacca mom is not that.
But yeah, she's apparently releasing songs and trying to be a fundraiser now for things. It's that's a thing.
She going like
actually no, really singing, which is probably worse.
The lady who laughed with the mask on, that's Chewbacca mom. Yeah.
So like, is she gonna do like the Clerk song, like, "Chewbacca, what a Wookiee"?
Who knows?
Chewbacca mom.
Who knows?
What a mother. I don't know.
She was on Twitter, wasn't she? She posted that video on Twitter.
Yeah.
That she got for her kids.
And she's got like $1 million now, and she's got her own doll from Hasbro, and
but
she's
how.
For yes, laughing
exactly
with a mask
our
on.
Exactly our point.
That's
exactly
basically everyone's question.
Wow. We don't know.
You know, all this hard work you're putting in, Gina, and all you had to do was slap a Chewbacca mask on your face.
What's that guy that's gold and does this?
C-3PO.
You could be a C-3PO lady.
Oh.
That sounds like something I could do. I'm just kidding.
Let's just go to see what Toy Store is at Toys R Us, and we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure out what that actually
is. But hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Gina, Irene, Ashuto. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
What was it?
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back, segment two. This is episode 153 of the IT and the D Show. We're broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This, Bob the Sales Guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Like we said, find us out online, itandthed.com. Mark your calendars. Just go to the Meet tab on our site. That's M-E-A-T. No, I'm sorry, M-E-E-T.
What happens if you go to M-E-A-T?
Still no meat sticks.
We're working on the meat sponsor. But mark your calendars, all the events that we have going on, and do us a favor. You can download the Podcast Detroit app on Apple or iOS. I did that on purpose.
Or Android. Where, for example, tonight, where we had all three studios running at the same time, you can listen to any one of them.
Yep.
Or you could have listened to us Saturday at XICW out of the remote gear.
The finest commentary team in Clinton Township that week.
The DJ might have overshadowed the commentary a little bit.
Fine. Fine. But hey, this segment is sponsored by our friends at Quip.
Right. So, you know, we've talked about this before. You know, the way we work today is dumb. You know, we're all drowning in email, interrupted by meetings, getting nothing done. So stop asking yourself, where's that file? What decision was made? Our lives, Bob, basically. Which, like, version 97 of that Excel file, underscore Dave, underscore Nuri, underscore Bob, edit.
Underscore final
version V2. One.
V2.
Yeah. So quit working dumb. It's not your fault. It's the tools you use. Work smart with Quip. So here's the deal. You communicate with as little email as possible. I'm already sold. Each living document created in Quip has built-in chat functions so you can communicate with your team. Real-time communication about the content being created. No more email chains and sharing links and attachments via email. Easily manage your team with shared folders and notifications. Quip also features Slack integration. We've talked about this. We like Slack. Great tool. So today, over 1 million users and thousands of teams have adopted Quip's living documents over email files and superfluous chat. Companies that use Quip include Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, CNN, Quora, New Relic, Instacart, Product Hunt, Stripe, Taser, many, many more. So try it out for yourself. Here's the deal. You get 6 months of a Quip team plan for free when you visit quip.com/IT. In the D. That's Quip, quip.com/IT in the D for a free 6 month Quip team plan.
6 months. That's crazy.
That's a hell of a trial period.
It's better than free shipping.
Yeah, a little bit. And no coupon code.
No coupon code. So, hey, we got very lucky this week. Had to reschedule a little in the past, but that's perfectly fine. We're lucky to be joined by Gina Irina. You told me not to. That's why I had it in my head. Gina Irina Shuto.
Gina, you got the last name right.
I did.
That was the hard one.
I did. That's because you told me three times not to.
Because it sounds like prosciutto.
Right.
You got to get it. I knew you would know ham.
Right. But we'll keep this quick. If you were an American Idol watcher, you were the first runner-up in last season. Am I correct?
Actually, it was season 13.
13.
Who's counting?
Who's counting? Yeah. Right. Well, you know, we were talking about in the pre-roll, it's always, if you look at historically American Idol, the runner-up always gets the better stuff than the person who actually wins. Minus, like, I think Kelly Clarkson was the only one that actually, you know.
I would say Carrie got a
good, oh, she did too. You're right, you're right.
Deal too, but yeah, you're right, definitely.
So, I mean, that process, getting through that show looks insanely exhausting. I mean, just from like the standing in line part and waiting, you know, I guess walk me through.
Well, I guess
like,
let's start. So, I mean, yeah. You're a local girl. You're here from Detroit. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, did they have auditions here when you did it, or did you have to go to another city?
That was pretty much the only reason why I tried out is because they came to Detroit for like the first time in like 11 years. And I had nothing to do that weekend. I don't think I was scheduled for work. So I'm like, Mom, do you want to come and stand in line with me? And there was like 8,000 people there just to register. So it was one full day of like standing in line to register and then a full day to wait in line to actually audition.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Yeah, that had to have been the best weekend
I think
ever.
The best part was like the fact that I didn't sing in line because there were so many people that did sing in line and their voices were just blown by the time they got.
With their left hand over their ear, right? Like that type of thing?
Mariah Carey, of course.
So, I mean, when did you find out that you had pipes? Like, you can, like...
In my lifetime?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always loved to sing, but like I started taking it seriously.
Well, all right,
like
let's be. We all love to sing in the shower. But when did you find out you were actually good at it?
I started like writing my own stuff when I was like 10 or 11. I obviously didn't know how to read or anything, but I just kind of played what sounded right and then wrote melodies over it. But I started to really take it seriously when I became the lead singer of a cover band called Infinity Hour when I was 12.
Oh, my God.
And then, yeah, we played, like, bars and, like, festivals all around the Metro Detroit area and ended up making our own original EP. And then we just went our separate ways, and then I tried out for Idol, and now I'm here, so.
So what's, I guess, what have you found, I mean, obviously, you know, you've been around the block a little bit now, so, like, what have you found when it comes to, say, the Detroit music scene versus the national music scene versus, you know, like, what we see when we're watching American Idol and shows like that? Like, I mean, like, how do you feel?
Well, I wouldn't say that American Idol is, like, should be the example for the national music scene. I don't think that at all. It's because American Idol is ultimately a reality TV show.
Right.
I mean, it's a singing competition, but it's reality TV. So I was excited that I was a part of it, but I'm definitely grateful that I didn't have to go through all the legal
stuff. The extra stuff?
Yeah, yeah, just because I'm a songwriter at heart. And I wasn't able to do that with the contracts that they would have, you know, if they would have asked me to sign with them, I wouldn't have been able to do that to the fullest of my extent. So
so what's your favorite thing now, though? I mean, like with the Detroit scene, yeah.
With the Detroit scene, I think the fact that I made my record with all Detroit musicians and I wrote with a really small group of like three to four people, so I think the record has a cohesiveness to it rather than, you know, having like 17 writers on one song, like, which is like what the usual is for major labels, I feel like, right now. Like Chris Brown on his last hit, I think he had like 17 writers on one song. So,
and it's not just Chris Brown, it's Chris Brown feet, period, and then like 17.
Like seven like, other yeah. artists, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so I like the fact that I stayed in Detroit. I recorded at a studio called Studio A in Dearborn, and I loved it. It was such a great experience because I just stayed with my small group of musicians throughout the whole six-month period, and it was a great experience.
So now when is – so you went and recorded. So what's out now? What do you have coming out, and what are you doing in support of all that stuff coming out?
So out right now, my EP is called Innocence. It came out in April, so it's been out for a few months now. And I released one music video for the single, Innocence, and I just came out with a new music video for the song Help Me, and that came out like a week ago. Yeah, came out a week ago. So super excited about that. It like I think the first couple days or the first week it released, it went to the Billboard Heat Seekers charts. I think it made number 6, so that was really cool to kind of look at, you know, on the screen. It was kind of cool.
How's that process yeah. different? I mean,
she was number 1 track on SoundCloud
this week.
So how's that process different? I imagine making an album is its own set of challenges. How is making a music video, how is that different?
A music video, I mean, it was different for, I don't know, it's I haven't made too many, to be honest. I love the process, but it's been different every single time I've done a music video. Like, I think the usual thing is for the video director to kind of like write out a script for the artist or like in the best possible light of the song. But for Innocence, that music video, me and my manager Kevin came up with the concept, and we kind of worked with the video director. So it's been different every time that I filmed. But the new music video helped me. It's not really like a concept video. It's just kind of like a performance-based video with nice scenery in the background. And so we're kind of trying to get all elements of the visuals.
So are you touring now, or are you playing live? I guess what I wanted to ask, like, what's your dream gig or venue to play at, like, oh my God, especially locally?
Locally? I mean, I would love to play. I mean, I know it's a small venue, but I would love to play St. Andrew's Hall just because I love the vibe in there. I have yet to play there, so hopefully in the near future that'll be a thing.
I think we might know the new sound guy there.
We might know a few people.
Ooh, guys, people hook it up. Hook it up. What was your other question? Sorry.
No. Like, are you touring now? Are you taking the show on the road? I wanted to ask, did you do the whole – did you do the American Idol? Like, when they bring, like, the top 12?
Yeah, it was the top 10 my year.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a 40-show tour, so we were on the road for a good 3 months.
It's like the Warped Tour almost, like
kind of
different shows every week.
But the Disney version of Warped Tour.
So NoFX doesn't have like a hot dog stand behind.
Right, exactly. But it was fun. I mean, I had so much fun on that. That was actually way more fun than the actual show itself because, you know, there was no voting or anything. Like,
you used to go out and perform.
No constructive criticism. It was just like, go out and play your shit and you're done. So.
Right. But, are you watching Roadies on Showtime by any chance?
No.
You have to. You'll die. It's Cameron Crowe. No, it's hilarious.
It's like the Ring.
Exactly.
Oh, you watch it and you die.
Cameron Crowe wrote it, and J.J. Abrams is the producer. But it's
obviously comedy.
But it's a fictitious band, and it's about like the Roadie scene, and it's fun. It's hilarious.
I love that because it's the Roadie scene, not necessarily like the band.
The band. It's nothing to do with the. Yeah, it's all about the behind the.
That's so cool.
Yeah, no, it's great. So St. Andrews, we'll have to jot that one down.
Yes, please do.
So one of the things me and Dave love to do, karaoke. I don't know if you've ever seen that Jewel video where she like kind of sneaks in the bar, like with her hair pulled back and like a baseball cap and sings one of her hits. Like
Adele did that too, right?
Adele did it too?
She was in disguise.
Yeah.
She took the hat off and everyone's like, oh my God. Yeah.
Are you like that? That would be absolutely stinking hysterical. Have you done that yet? Do you sing karaoke?
I kind of look a lot different than how I looked on Idol, even though it's been like just 2 years. I don't think people would recognize me, anyways.
Well, I mean, your voice is insanely distinct. Because I mean,
thanks.
I was listening to
the music, the two tracks we played during the break were yours.
Yes, those were two tracks.
I tried to get in a bunch of tracks on the way here, and like when you did "Creep," I mean, usually people butcher that track, and it was like, damn, that girl can sing. Like it was awesome. Like, and I don't say that rarely. You know, I mean, like. Yeah, like the voice is insanely distinct, and it's rare to find that these days because everyone's got that nasally, pitchy, you know, the pop star girls. But I mean, your voice, by far, it's you know, very unique. I loved it.
Thank you. Yeah, "Creep" is the only one I do live anymore.
Okay.
I really liked that one. That was pretty much the only one that I liked doing on the show, though.
So to that point, though, like where people can see you. So like are you going out on tour? Are you going out on the road? Where can people find you?
I'm actually just starting to play live shows with my new band, my new live band. And we're playing in Maryland, Annapolis, Maryland, next week on July 17th. And on July 19th, I'm going to be at the Rockwood Music Hall in New York.
Cool.
Which is actually my second time playing there. I'm really excited to go back. It's a really cool venue. But those are the upcoming shows for right now. I just played a show in L.A., the Hotel Cafe, which is kind of it's a really cool venue. It's got a lot of good vibes there. There's like been a lot of there's been a lot of people that have like gone and played
Dave
there.
Dave Allen Coe, Mark Broussard,
yeah,
right?
And then they make it like 6 months later, so I'm just like, cross my fingers. But yeah, like Adele, I heard, has played there. Chris Martin from Coldplay has played there. Like, so that was a really cool show. And I just love being back in LA because LA is great. So
where do people want to buy your music? Where do they find you?
My music is available on Spotify, iTunes, all the good stuff. You can also buy the actual hardcover EP on my website, and I'll send in a little card with my signature and a little classified note for you.
And so what's your website?
My website is GinaIrene.com.
Okay.
Yeah. And, so Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, it's all on there. So it all links to the EP.
Very cool.
So, like, the Detroit music scene, I'm just curious, is, like, have you reached out to, like, collab with any, like, local musicians and if, like, anyone that's, you know, been an established rock star? Or do they give you the Heisman because, like, oh, you're just American Idol? And or do they say, hey, you're legit because of this and that? Or I'm just curious.
I haven't really I haven't really talked to other artists about. I mean, obviously the subject will come up, like you were on American Idol, but you know, once we
once you get that
show,
far, they know you're
once,
legit.
Well, I guess once, not even, because there's a lot of like people who automatically think that you're a certain singer or a certain musician because you were on one of those shows, and it comes with disrespect, to be honest. Like, just because I feel like American Idol hasn't been represented as one of those shows that actually goes on to make sustainable careers for artists.
You still have to be good afterwards.
Well, exactly. You have to, like, make a brand for yourself. You have to make a name for yourself. In my case, it's writing my own songs. So, I've played a show with, like, Flint Eastwood, and she's great. She's amazing. Have you heard of her? Flint Eastwood, she's an amazing musician. She just came out with new music, too. She's amazing. She did a show with me at Dime, and she was great. I mean, I've gotten nothing but support from other local artists, and I can only give my support back. So it's been a really good family element, I think, since I've gotten back. Not so much the competition aspect. It's more of a family vibe going on, which is great. So,
well, I think everybody's, you know, trying to get everybody, especially in this town, everybody's kind of close, at least from anyone that I've ever met in the music business or in the industry, that they want everyone to do better just to propel the area up, you know?
Yeah, I guess. But the music industry, we all have to work together, too. I mean, I don't just write songs by myself anymore. I feel like I can only really complete an idea and organize an idea if I'm writing with somebody else, if someone's keeping me in check. So I don't know. My views have changed, I think, a little bit over the past 2 years.
So do you have a favorite track out of all the ones you did, or has it become like my one friend who semi-made it out in the West Coast? So he refuses to play this one song,
Daryl,
because it's kind of like that was his song, and it's like Sting saying, "I'm not playing Roxanne anymore. I'm tired of it."
My songs are the covers that
no,
I did.
No, not the covers, like your songs. Do you have that one favorite, and then almost you're getting, obviously you're probably not getting sick of it yet, but do you have that one favorite that, you know,
that's
you're
gonna, out now or that's yeah. about to come out?
Either one.
Either one. Well, the one that's out of the songs that are out right now, I would say my favorite is Numb, which is the second track, I think, that played in the break.
Yep.
Yeah, that song is just, it's so different than the rest of the tracks on there, and that's the song I usually open my show up with, just because it's so weird and eerie, and I think it sets the standard for my songwriting and how it goes. But it, like, the throughout the songs that haven't come out yet, there's a song called Black Magic that I'm, like, obsessed with. It's coming out on the album. I'm sorry, I'm not tooting my own horn. It's just, like, I do like that song. And I didn't write it myself. I wrote it with another amazing, amazing songwriter. But she's, yeah, that's a good one.
Very cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, so one more time, just to be safe, where do we find you on the web and social media?
Web, so again, my website is GinaIrene.com. My Instagram and Twitter name, it's Gina Asciutto #1, not the word one, so Gina Asciutto 1. And Facebook is JIA Music. Am I forgetting anything else? Nope, that's it.
Awesome.
Find me.
Well, we'll have all the links in the recap and that kind of stuff, and I got two more queued up here for the next break. Yeah.
Gina, appreciate you hanging out with us.
Thank you.
And
so
best
much.
Of luck with your future career. And I want to keep in touch because I want to see you play St. Andrews Hall. That's one of my favorite venues too. And we may or may not know people there, so we'll try to see if we can make that happen.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, thank you for coming out, and we'll see you soon.
Awesome.
Hey, we'll be right back with Victoria from Hatch Detroit. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D, read, meet. Listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Welcome back. This is segment 3 of episode 153 of the #1 ranked technology podcast on SoundCloud.
This week.
The IT in the D Show, and we are broadcasting live here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. He's always here with Dave the Geek and Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com. Want to know where we're at? Click the Meet tab. That's M-E-E-T E.T.
Phone home.
We got a bunch of stuff on the Learn tab. We got a new program coming out with Merit we'll be talking about in the next couple weeks. Also still have the Career Academy going on, $29 training if you want to get certified in IT. A bunch of stuff going on. But, hey, speaking of stuff going on, when I need a website, I always call my old buddy Dave. And Dave gives me the old middle finger. And I need tools. I need things. You know,
I want to build another website.
I used to need people. Now I don't need Dave anymore because I have Weebly.
Dave is so happy.
And if you listen, Dave and I and our friend Sherry started a new podcast called Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever. And we needed a website. And I, the dumb sales guy, the dipshit, the dupa, put a
cleavage in the Venn diagram.
Got a website designed, uploaded, and propagated in less than 20 minutes using Weebly. You don't need to.
It looks like it.
Oh, come on. It's not that bad. It does not. Oh. It looks better than your first IT in the D site.
This
oh, did I say that?
No, this is true.
You know, listen, I was crazy impressed. It was so simple. There's templates you can just click. You drag and drop. You don't need to code anything to save some pictures, upload your images, grab some code from – we did it from SoundCloud. I have an embedded podcast player. Write a blog. Talk about the – it literally that simple. The has a form code, contact form just to send to my email address. So, again, it's it couldn't have been an easier process, and I could not be happier with what they provided. There's over 30 million people who are already doing their own thing, like all the podcasts on our network. Even if you have a small business and you're not on the web because it's either too expensive or you got some guy holding you hostage, stop doing that. Check out Weebly. Go to Weebly.com. That's Weebly.com/IT. That's Weebly.com/IT. And get your damn website up today. Appreciate the support. So we are here with one of our favorite guests, and you've been to our old studio, you were at our second studio, and no elevators this time. They're just walking the front door, even though we might be a little bit north. But we have Victoria Katansky in the house from Hatch, Detroit. We know when it's time for Hatch because Victoria calls. Otherwise, she's silent. And but we get to be graced with I'm just kidding. We get to be graced with your presence once again. Mm-hmm. So for those that it's new to or don't know what Hatch is, I guess give us a quick rundown and then let's dive into the details.
Sure. So Hatch Detroit is a nonprofit that's dedicated solely to bringing entrepreneurs into the city of Detroit, Hamtramck, and Highland Park. And we are most known for our contest that happens once a year, which is what Bob was referring to. And it's going on right now until July 15th. People who want to be entrepreneurs in those cities can actually apply and be considered for a $50,000 grant.
$50,000 grant.
Plus $200,000 in pro bono services.
Yeah, I was going to say they get legal services, they get accounting services, they get a whole bunch of other.
Yeah, we've really expanded our pro bono offerings this year, which has been kind of awesome.
Nice.
So, well, and we've enjoyed, I mean, so that, like, this is your third or fourth time through with us. We've always had, you know, the finalists in. We've always had a great time sitting here and picking out who we think the winner's going to be. We've been right so far. But, but you know, we've had Steven back in here from Batch a couple times for
amazing things
he has going on. That was the first time we had you on. You know, they were one of the finalists, you know, and then Sister Pie, I believe, was one of the others.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think what the first one was. Yeah.
And we also had Amina last year.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's been three times.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess what kind of stuff are you seeing? You know, like what kind of businesses are coming in either in greater or lesser numbers this year? Like, what kind of trends are you seeing with it?
It's a really good question. So we always have food. It seems like the hot thing is food in the city right now, but we're also seeing a lot of like clothes people that are designing their own clothes and making their own clothes, which is kind of cool. We really want to encourage people that are not just food oriented to apply. Would love to see what I'd love to see are like an apothecary. Something like an apothecary. Ooh. I would love that. I'd love to see like an older like grocery store that actually had a butcher shop and some pieces that are just very specialized. We're really growing into a city that can accommodate those things again that used to be what our city had all the time.
Right.
I would love it to be like to live around. That's the one thing I miss being on the burbs is having that like four stores, the baker, the butcher,
the candlestick maker,
because I need those candles. But just no, just to have those specialized, the people that that's all they did and they were good at it and you knew the families and you had a connection.
Exactly. And I mean, I've shopped that way my entire life. And so it really means something to me that I'm promoting and Hatch is promoting entrepreneurs that are specific to what they're good at. And it's independent retail. It's not big box. No Costco or anything else can compare to what an individual butcher can make a wonderful sausage. You know,
true.
I mean, it's like you just can't do it in bulk. And so we're hoping to see that.
No, and I've grown up going to Niches, which is they moved out way up north.
I have no idea where that is.
It's a German butcher. It used to be in St. Clair Shores, kind of like Alexander and Hornig. And they went out to Shelby Township. But it's the family.
It's
and
great.
I've been going there since for almost 40 years now. My mother used to bring me there. And it's the same family. Now the kids are running it, right? So it's kind of – and you know that everything's amazing and they go local.
High
and
quality.
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes a difference. So, I mean, that – you know, we went right back to food. But it also does make a difference with textiles and things like that. I mean – I'm really glad that consumers are being
more conscious.
Well,
Detroit's a maker town.
Yeah. And consumers are more conscious in what they're buying. And so I hope that it expands beyond food and actually brings in more of the textile industry and other things.
Well, until they get too big and then everyone says you're not Detroit enough like Shinola, even though everything's made here like just like a car. But it's not good enough, apparently.
Or more so than a car, but yeah.
Right.
Or unless all the T-shirts are $75. And
right.
So one of the things we do pride ourselves on is that we try to bring something to the city that Detroiters who live in the city will benefit from. And so most of our winners and the people who have opened up shop coincidentally have been Detroit residents or have recently become Detroit residents. They've been committed to their neighborhoods, and they do provide something that hasn't existed prior. So we're glad about that.
So, I mean, how many out of – you guys sort through hundreds of submissions?
Yeah.
Has it been increasing year over year?
You know, it's different. It's been different year over year. I would say the quality has been increasing faster than the numbers of submissions, which makes me very happy. Because I think that's a different statement.
Right.
Like it actually shows more.
Yeah, take quality over quantity
right.
Any day of the week. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been really excited about that. But it has increased in quantity as well. You know, it's an anxiety period for me because I'm like, oh, my God. We spent a lot of time reading every single one of those submissions. None of us, like, we commit the same amount of time for each of them. And so when you say hundreds of them, I'm like, oh, my God, I have to start planning. How many hours?
I get to not sleep for the night. Yeah.
But even the ones that don't win have all gone on, at least had a semi-successful run.
So our top 10 are really important to us. I mean, obviously, anybody who enters is important to us. And we do try to, like, put people into different programs that don't fit maybe our program or encourage them to reapply if they get more information or to get more information about their company. But our top 10, the publicity that they get, they become, like, sought after. You know, every other program in the city that really tries to get some new hot entrepreneur, the minute we announce the top 10, they're almost like hawks. Like they're right at him.
You know, not a bad idea would be for a podcast studio to be in the city. Maybe.
You know, we tried that.
And it worked really well.
Again,
I kind of missed that place.
Oh, my God, I miss it so much. Up until the moment that I threw my keys down.
The elevator shaft.
The elevator shaft.
Yeah, red carpet, red tape.
Right.
This talk.
Yeah, no. This is red carpet right here.
So July 15th is the submission deadline. Then what happens next? Like, we're going to get this out there. People are going to go, oh my God, I have 3 days, man.
We try to be a lot more organized than that. So, July 15th is when they find out, you know, they have to submit. We review them just internally, and then we have a group, condense it down to 25. We have a group of about 40 people that make it to the top 10. And then from the top 10, basically we do background checks and then we announce it. And we give them about 5 days to prepare for the announcement, where they actually put together like a little booth. And we invite press and just like, you know, friends of the organization and you guys who have to come this year because you've been invited and weren't able to. In the past.
For the top 10? Oh, yeah. You know what? We were. We did it.
No, you were out of town last year. Yep. So we want you to come this year. So we'll be announcing on August 11th.
Okay.
And we want you guys to come. And then we basically were really cool because it's a very short amount of time, really hot in the media, and we announced by August 26th.
For the top
the winner.
Oh, that's right. So the top four is usually, first, second week of August. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Top 10 is August 11th, and then a week after.
Yeah, and then there's the public voting period and all that stuff that goes on. People can go different places and vote online and all that
stuff. Which also makes us unique because there's a lot of things happening right now in the city where it's, you know, behind closed doors and it's not really a public.
Very behind closed doors,
right.
Yeah.
So you have all these winners and that win money, but nobody even knows who they are. They miss that publicity opportunity,
right.
Which really goes a long way with people launching. So due to the publicity piece.
If the public's involved in stuff, they want to stay involved with it. Yeah, go figure. So
we've had 14, we've been around, this is our sixth year. We've had 14 businesses that have opened, and we have 16 others that are about to open or are operating as a pop-up. So that's a pretty good number for
what
we call 50 of our alums at this point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, because a lot of times it was just a pipe dream, right? Not even some were established businesses. The other ones came that were just like, have this idea.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But still, to see them come through is, is great, to say the least.
Well, and our businesses, the ones that have opened, have put over $2.5 million in the city of Detroit for, what they've put in their build out and everything that they've done. And then they also tend to employ people from their neighborhoods or people from the city more often. Independent retailers in general tend to do that.
That's not a bad stat at all.
Never 2.5 million. Disappointed about that at all. Yeah.
So where would you like to see Hatch go? Like what do you think is like where do you see like the next year or two taking it at beyond? I mean, obviously you're in crunch mode with this year, but like in a perfect world, where would you see Hatch going?
The environment, it's changed considerably for an independent retailer in the last 6 years, and I would like to investigate ways to ensure that independent retail has a place at the table when all this other stuff is happening in the city. Because I truly believe that...
You mean Moose Jaw and Nike aren't going to save the city?
No, they have their place in the city, and that's great. But, it's interesting because people ask me that all the time. You have Woodward Avenue that was once home to all these great, huge stores. And it's really not the place for a Hatch business
in
Woodward. There's some of them. We have a wonderful wine shop, House of Pure Vin, that was one of our top 10 last year. And she's made an amazing spot. But it was in a new development on Woodward that was a little bit like to the times and catered to a smaller establishment. We have the Royce Detroit that's going to be opening just off Woodward in the Kales building. So we do have things in the Central Business District happening. But for the most part, those spaces are like 26,000 square feet. And it doesn't necessarily equate for an independent
retailer.
You can retailer.
Put all of the Hatch contestants in there.
So we want to see a place for our businesses to be, obviously most of them have been in neighborhoods and they're catering to residents, but also in the future, I would like to see that make sure that our independent retailers and independent retailers in general have a place at the table.
Well, and that's one of the things I remember from almost everyone from Hatch that we've had in here is they always have when they step up, they have their place in mind, and it's usually in a local neighborhood. It's in that's what they're looking for,
right. Well, and it's better for their finances as well.
Oh, for sure.
Square footage, but that environment's changing very quickly, and a lot of it is because Sister Pie made a place when she went into West Village, and now West Village is booming.
A thing. Yeah.
And I will say that so did Detroit Vegan Soul. They were the first people in there, and that's another one of ours. Now we have four alum that are going to be in that area. We're making an incredible impact on the walkability of different neighborhoods in the city.
I totally should not have gone to the Sister Pie website because now I'm craving pie. Specifically a sour cherry bourbon pie.
Oh, my God. She is actually going to be teaching you how to make that pie tomorrow morning, which is Tuesday, which I know
right.
It's, yeah. So you'll have to look for it.
Where?
On Fox.
Okay.
No, you're like,
yeah, that's fine. So what are some, I mean, you look at like the trends that have come in through and like the cupcake pie thing. I don't think it's been done, but it's not, you know, then you saw the breweries and all that. Is there like a next trend you guys foresee is like the next big thing that's going to come down that would be awesome to have in Detroit? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah, it does make sense. It's just, it's funny because like Detroit trend versus nation trend.
It's about a year and a half past New York.
Well, we're getting better. Yeah. 5 years behind New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that I actually think we're about a year and a half beyond, but now it's becoming fundamentals, which before it was like the hot new thing, and now I think it's back to fundamentals. So like I said, like an apothecary, like a really good neighborhood butcher. It's going back to what our beginnings were.
German pretzel stand, perhaps?
Perhaps a German pretzel stand.
That doesn't sound like a basic, Bob.
Would you wear a lederhosen?
I would, every day.
He does anyway. whether he's going to a German-related event or not, he's got the
with a feather in my head. No, I just wear them. I wear them to the German festival so I can go to the bar afterwards wearing it. Still, that's the only reason I wear it. I don't
care
about.
And then they give you free drinks because they thought you worked all day.
Yeah, you know, it's the shirt made out of my grandmother's tablecloth. It's got
the suspenders, the high socks.
What would you guys like to see though? Like you've seen all of our businesses come through. What do you? You've predicted it. What do you want to see?
I always talk about what I want to open, which is what I want to see because I just don't want to sit there and watch it. Hudson Cafe does a very good job, but business breakfast places are like I'm sick of. Let's just go to Panera. Let's just go to Einstein. Let's just go to Starbucks.
In Detroit, we're so lucky. We do not have that problem.
Well, right.
Right. I mean, that's independent retail does for the city is that you can come to Detroit and you can find something incredibly unique that you can't find. You used to be able to find it in Chicago. You used to be able to find it all over and you can't because they've been priced out. So it's amazing to me to see that we're bringing like people who are different and like, you know, Lisa from Sister Pie.
Yeah.
Bon Appetit featured her.
Wow.
Like, that's great. Like, that's what our people are doing.
And that's the thing. You put in Rochester Hills, crickets. You put in Detroit, but you're in Bon Appetit.
I think that
I
might
have, that
one.
No, Sister Pie's going to be good regardless.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not fair.
Yeah, we're not. That's different than some of the hipster hangouts we've talked about before.
Right. No, I misspoke. Never mind. But carry on.
No, I'd love to see a local butcher or a cheese shop or like a really good fish place. You know, those kind of things that, you know, when I lived in New York, I could walk down Bleecker Street and I had all of those things within a couple of blocks.
I mean, you know what? You know, I don't mean to cut you off, nerd, but I will anyway.
I'll let you finish.
I'm sorry the middle of my sentence interrupted the start of yours.
No, I just had a light bulb moment. Would be nice if Eastern Market would open retail somewhere in the middle of something. Don't cringe. But just to have like a best of or like a condensed version so I can grab something like in Midtown or.
They've opened something at the airport.
They did. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Well, I'll just go there next time I want some.
Right, exactly.
Drive out to Romulus.
While I'm flying to Turkey.
But that does bring up an interesting point.
You follow what I'm saying, though.
I do. But it does bring up an interesting point about proper placement of independent retail and retail in general in the city is that you need to be in tune with what neighborhoods want and want to see and not just do something based on how it fits your budget and if you can get property for cheap. So we really try to encourage our, you know, alums to make the right decision for where they want to go and make sure it's good for them, good for the community, and good for everything.
I'd like to open an Apple store at, like, Mac and Livernois.
It's cheap. You know. But, I mean, you know, you also have
computers or fruit?
That's a good question. But that's a good point, again, is that you have to know your way. And I think a lot of times neighborhoods get very excited about the way development is going, and they don't necessarily keep true to what they do well.
Good point. So hey, I put the link out on Twitter, which is hatchdetroit.com/apply. But check them out, hatchdetroit.com. When you get the four finalists, look forward to having you back in the studio so we can have a hatch off once again. So my favorite episodes. Oh,
so when is the top 10?
Top 10 are going to be announced on August 11th,
okay.
Which you're welcome to do a live broadcast from, if you desire, on a Wednesday.
Checking calendar.
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's,
and the four finalists?
The 11th is a Thursday.
Oh, did I give you the wrong? No, it's the 11th.
Yeah, that's a Thursday.
Yeah.
And then the top four finalists?
So we announced them in the middle of the
Nah, we'll figure it out later.
Because it's a week later, and we announce them. It's actually part of the voting process. But the big announcement of the finalist is going to be on August 26th, and that's when we have our hatch off.
Right.
We have the judges that come in, and it's a
big party.
Now,
I went to that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun.
It actually was a good time. I mean, just, you know, and it was funny because it played out. Like anybody who had listened to our show learned nothing new by being there. Because, I mean, it played out exactly like it did on our show. And it was just one of those.
Right.
And it was just a reinforcement of everything that we saw when they were here that, you know what? Lisa had her shit together and killed it. You know,
right.
Some of the others not as much. And it was, you know, just that much more not as much amplified out. So yeah, no, they are fun events.
They are, and I will say though we will be announcing the top four on basically Friday, August 19th.
Okay.
So, and just a good point about we're really lucky to have incredible sponsors like Comerica Bank that supplies the $50,000 prize, and they've really upped the ante this year and more than doubled their commitment to us. Which has been great. We've been able to offer some like prep courses for applicants and do some different things like 30-second spots that we're going to be, releasing very soon of our top five, the five people that have won. And also –
if they're audio, give. We'll play.
They are. They're amazing.
If they're audio, we'll play them.
Mort Krim Communications did the videos for us, and they are amazing. And then also Opportunity Detroit is our sponsor for presenting, and they – have given us space and for our two events.
Cool.
So it's been cool.
It's our favorite time of year. It's Victoria season. We'll be seeing her more often.
Most wonderful time.
Victoria, always a pleasure having you in the studio. We thank you. We look forward to seeing you in the upcoming months. Are we coming back for segment four? Or are we cutting it short? We had a long day yesterday.
I'm fairly exhausted still from yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, this will be the end of episode 153 of the IT and the D Show. We definitely want to thank our sponsors first and foremost, Quip, Weebly, and Earth Class Mail.
Yeah.
Appreciate the support. Also like to thank Gina Irene Asciutto and Victoria Katansky
from
Hash
Detroit.
She stole
my charger.
She stole, she stole Nuri's iPhone charger.
The last time I lent my charger.
She left CDs though, so that's a good trade off. Yeah. No doubt. But I want to thank each and every one of you for hanging out. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. On behalf of all of us on the IT and the D Show, please drive careful.
And go listen to episode 152.
Beat it.
Emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth. Ohms. 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 Ohms.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet?
No!
Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.